Barbara, did you want to come share that word? Barbara had a word, and it bears witness with me.
And she's got a baby.
Yes.
Trying to sleep. No. I just felt like the Lord was saying, relationships come and go, but His love is steadfast. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He loves you all so much He will provide for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm just observing the faces, see who's freaked out by the pulpit not being here. All right. So, like I said, Pastor Wade and Pastor Julie are in Tennessee at Riverside Church. They're bringing it up there. We miss them and we love them. And I'm telling you, I can go a long time without seeing a lot of people. I don't want to go more than a week without seeing them. It's not fun, but we love them. So, Pastor Wade asked me a couple weeks ago. He wanted me to minister today, and then Steve was going to minister, next week. And so we got to talking. We had so much fun talking.
Which we do.
Which we do, yeah. We said, well, let's just both do both. And so... Now, yeah, amen. That's right. So I thought it would be cool is instead of having a formal teaching, what if we have a conversation? Yeah. So those of us who have these home groups and are going to the home groups know how cool this is going to get. So, and that's kind of the point is to those of us or those of you who haven't gone to a home group yet, you're going to see this is it. We have a conversation. Now, who was here when Pastor Wade showed that video about Lance Wallnau with where he was speaking? Were you guys there? Okay. How powerful was that? Right? It is so true that when we are together, God speaks so much clearer. The things that you've been tossing around become clear when we do this. So that's what we're going to do. I have no notes. He's got some. And we're just going to ask four questions and talk about it. Amen. Is that okay?
Yeah. Interject real quick.
Yes, sir.
And this really is the kind of format that we follow. Not that there's a format or a scripted part of the home group, but just to explore the topic that we're learning about in church, we just ask very simple questions, and it just takes off from there. So
yeah. It does.
Ask away.
Amen. Well, before we do, first of all, happy Father's Day. All the dads.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. I'll be honest, I'm still in the stage of dadhood. I know it's Rebecca will be four soon, but I still go, oh, I'm a dad. Like, it hasn't sunk in. So, all right. So, we've been in this series about the ships of God's armada, and this is still a part of that series. We're not vacating that at all. And I'm not going to list all of them, but today is fellowship. Okay, now we're going to be talking about fellowship, and the way we're going to do it is, like I said, we're going to introduce Rhema. We're just going to let the Lord speak to us through us right here, right now. We have a few points we want to make, but for the most part, we want to keep it as fresh and real and fun as it is when we just talk. Amen? So, let's get right into it. First, our opening scripture is in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called into fellowship. There was only one John the Baptist. Lone Ranger, solo Christianity doesn't exist. Amen? All right. So let's get into some of these questions and just go. So, I'm going to ask Steve the first question. What is fellowship?
I'm so looking forward to this. I've always wanted to break down the Greek and the Hebrew. And then, of course, I get fellowship, and I find out, well, there is no Hebrew word for fellowship. I looked and looked. I found the Greek, which made me think that maybe society was starting to change, and Paul realized that relationships were starting to decline. And so the Greek word for relation or for fellowship is koinonia. Yeah. Now, I didn't think Koinonia ship would make for a very good-looking boat, so we'll keep it at fellowship. But there's a couple other things, words that that are translated from fellowship that are also very interesting, I thought. Sharing, participation, which is key, and contribution. All things are pointing towards relationship. So another synonym, if you will, for fellowship to me is relationship. It's a little deeper than talking about, you know, the game or the movie that you saw or a group that you like. It's around things that you have in common. Koino, the root of the word, means common. So fellowship is when we gather together, we participate in conversations, we share, and we edify each other. That is the importance. It is not a superfluous conversation about something that doesn't really matter. I've noticed when I get together with Pastor Josh, Pastor Wade, we don't spend very much time on the game or the movie.
No, long it never stays
for,
there.
Long enough for Pastor Wade to tell me Han Solo dies in one of the Star Wars movies.
Actually,
oh, thank you. Was it
that
you?
Was me.
Yeah. That was you? Oh, great.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the new Star Wars movie yet, Han Solo dies.
Sorry if I spoiler alerted anybody else there. But what it is, what I realize, you know, we were created initially to fellowship with God in the garden. That is the beginning of man. The end of our earthly walk, we enter in back in to physical fellowship with God through Christ. So what do we do in the meantime?
Fellowship with each other.
We fellowship with each other.
Amen.
We were created for it.
If I can just interject something too. You guys know what's the Greek word for church? Ekklesia,
yeah.
Right? Do you know what that word means? It means the called out together ones. That's what that means. The word together is built into church. Church isn't a building. And we say church is people, but it's people together. That's worth pointing out. And, you know, Jesus, when he was about to depart in John, he said, in John 17, when he's praying, he says, Father, I pray that they would be with me, that where I am, they would be with me also, right? So togetherness should be the end goal. It's not to get somewhere. It's the goal. Amen.
It is the goal. It states in the Bible that it is the goal. 1 John 1:3 that says that which we have seen and heard declare we to you, and that you may have fellowship with us. And that's a two-way. It isn't just, you know, one of us speaking. That is a relationship, a back and forth, where you're both building each other up. That you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is in the Father with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what I realized, we have what we call the library in our house. It's not a real library.
Sounds cool, though.
A couple bookcases and a little alcove-ish kind of thing. And what I realized is that when Bridget and I sit there, my wife Bridget is over there. Oh, over here. You switched.
She's cleverly disguised as Bridget.
We sit on the couch, and while it's a conversation, but we have to realize that we have the Spirit of God inside us. So when we're in conversation and relationship, we are fellowshipping with God.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I get the neatest feeling in that library that here I am sitting with my wife and God.
Mm.
And I greatly encourage that you have that kind of place in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... and I don't want to get too far into this because this might dip into what we're going to talk about next time, but in the past, I would say 2 years, when the Lord has made such an emphasis on what fellowship is, it's ruined all other forms of fellowship for me. You know, when I have fellowship with you guys, when we get together, when we talk, there's a depth that doesn't exist with, you know, I have conversations with buddies about our hobbies or about sports or whatever, and it reaches an end point where you just go, yeah, all right. And you kind of exhaust it. We've never had that.
I feel edified now.
Yeah. It's like, but we, but it's like we never have that when we're, and it's not like we purpose to talk about the Lord, but it just, like what that scripture says in 1 John 1:3, our fellowship we have together is with Jesus. So we have something infinite and eternal and beyond any depth that we can quantify in English. And when we go there together, it doesn't have an end. And it's shown me too, there is a real, I walk away with something, let's put it that way. You know, when I fellowship with believers of like mind, you don't leave the same. In fact, most of the time I'll get in the truck and I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Like, it makes me go to him. Like, it makes me want to go just get excited with him. So it's the real. It's the real. Amen.
So our next question, now that we've kind of explored what it is what is not fellowship?
Yeah. All right.
You want a prop for this?
What you got? Oh, yeah.
To steal from Rob last week.
Yeah.
That's not feeling.
Yes. So, I hope nobody's feeling sensitive today.
Yeah.
So, what exists in our culture right now is we have substituted a text or a Facebook post or a like as fellowship and friendship. That's in a different universe from friendship. You know, I've got this friend, I don't even know if this person qualifies as a friend any longer. They just refuse to get together, right? It's been two, three years. They just want to text. It's like, you just stay over there. That's not fellowship. That is not fellowship. You know, I can't remember his name, but there was a scientist who led a study on communication probably 20 years ago. And what they found is that 80% of communication is implied visually, physically, how we look at each other. We can have a conversation by looking at each other. So if we limit our fellowship and our willingness to fellowship to a Facebook interaction or a message or a text or an email, we're only communicating at 20% capacity. And that's pretty depressing, isn't it? Probably less, I would agree. It's not
face-to-face.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a face-to-face communication study.
It was, exactly. Yeah. And that was actually the purpose. Well, the purpose was to figure out how much our words matter, and they do matter. But God is a relational God, and he's hardwired into us to exchange something face-to-face. And Skype doesn't count, okay? I'm just saying, Skype doesn't count. There is something about being... that's right, physically present. Who remembers this one guy named Kenneth Hagin? Yes? Love him. I'm not going to imitate him like Pastor Wade does. But he said that the anointing gets stronger within about 4 feet, right? And that his point was not teaching on fellowship or anything like that, but there is something to that. There is something to that, you know. Why was it that the anointing was limited to Peter's shadow when he was walking down that one street? It's closeness, right? It's closeness. So what fellowship is not is a distant, cold, albeit safe. It is safe to keep people at arm's length. Because then they won't see you. Then they won't see you. That right there is the Facebook generation. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's how many people here have more Facebook friends than people they actually talk to? I went on this one guy who is in a group that I'm in a member of, and I looked, and he had 6,000 friends. And I'm like, I don't.
He paid for half of those, I guarantee.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of science around the decline of relationship and what it's doing in this country. More recent than 30 years, there was a study in 2012 that Harvard, you know, the pinnacle of secular, that was actually founded on Judeo-Christian values, but we won't go there, that really brought to light what's going on. There is a rise in young people killing themselves. There is a rise in depression, in clinical depression, where people get, there's a servant.
You're blessed.
There's a rise in these bad things happening to young kids. And it's coinciding where they've taken physical polls of what's going on in their mind, how they live their lives, and there's a real correlation to the fact that they do not know how to develop face-to-face relationships anymore. About maybe 8 years ago, I used to be a manager at Disney World and was running a restaurant called Tony's. I don't know if Tony's Town Square, whoo whoo.
Disney people.
Yeah. All the Disney folk know about that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. And I noticed my staff could not put cell phones down. They couldn't. They literally couldn't. They couldn't, under threat of being punished, put the cell phones down. So I used to give a meeting every day before you know the day started, and I took the opportunity to kind of take my own poll, and I asked them, how do you guys like to communicate? And I gave them three choices: face-to-face, by phone, or by text. Every single one of them, age group from, say, 23 to 35, said text.
Yep.
Every single one of them. And I'm not saying this to say, oh, bad people. This is how they've grown up. This is what they've been shown. And it's real important what we do about that if we want to see it change. But so then I asked, how do you like to be communicated? How do you like to communicate to other people? And they said text. How do you like to be communicated to? And about a third of them went, and they thought about it. And then most of them said text too, because then I can answer when I want, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the good reasons that there is. And I'm not saying texting is bad. It's a good way of getting immediate communication through, and we all do it. So, but what it doesn't replace is the ability to develop a relationship.
Yeah.
And when you get so tied up into this and lose that ability, Tom Wright says you diminish yourself. That we lose our humanity. Alibaba, you guys know that, like the Pacific Rim Amazon thing? Their CEO is amazing. I don't know if you know, I forget his name, but I saw a video on YouTube, sorry. But I saw this video about what he thought about education. And I know I'm getting maybe a little off topic, but it's really what we're missing in today's world is that relationship. He said education in the world is broken. We're still teaching kids how to be slow calculators. You know, why would we teach a kid how to be a calculator when they have a calculator that can do it 100 times faster than they can? What we should be teaching is relationship. What makes humans human?
And that's just unfortunately missing in today's world.
You know, I accidentally ran an experiment on myself once. I'll explain. And I'm just telling y'all right now, this stool is rickety. If it breaks, you are forbidden to laugh at me. It's, yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, laugh now. I'm trying not to move. So,
Kason can help you out.
Yeah. So, I broke the screen on my phone, I don't know, last year. And I had to go to the Apple store, which is an experience. Yeah, it's an experience. Let's leave it at that. It was kind of like going to a technology zoo. But the zoo portion was the people. But anyway, so I had to give them, I had to give them my phone. And, you know, I kind of come by this honestly. For my job, I 100% of the day am on my phone, emailing, texting, calling, Dropbox, looking at plans, all this stuff. I'm constant. I probably charge the battery 4 times a day. I'm on my phone a lot. So because of that, I have, again, come by it honestly, I develop a natural reflex to pull this thing up and look at it, right? And so when I dropped the phone off, I had to walk around the Mall of Millennia without a phone. I felt like a crazy person. I'm sitting down, I'm like, man, what do I do? And I'd reach back and go, oh, it's not there. And then I get up and walk and reach back, oh, it's not there. And I caught myself, I didn't count, but I mean, it was about every 10 seconds. And I went, this is weird. This is messed up, right? And it's not like I had bad intentions to get myself there. And then my head popped up and I sat down and I'm in this big atrium and I'm watching people walk by. All of a sudden I can see people, right? And it kind of broke my heart because that reflex that I kept doing, I didn't like that. I really didn't like that. And it was very revealing to me of, it's sort of a comfort mechanism that we go to, you know? Did you guys ever see that movie, Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights?
I've heard all about it.
Oh, come on, that's a funny movie. There's this part where he's being interviewed and he goes, I don't know what to do with my hands, right? It's like that. It's like we don't know what to do. We've become crippled, and I'm putting myself in that. And so since then, I've purposed to really, I found that it even would hinder how I'm reaching people, because Jesus said the eyes are the lamp of the body, right? If I'm not looking at their eyes, I'm not looking at who they are. So I would challenge you for an hour, leave the phone in the car and go in the mall and count how many times you reach for it. It's strange. It's very strange. And it's not to beat nobody up. I told you, that's me, okay? I'm not beating up on anybody.
Yeah, all this that we're talking about is really realizations that we came to about ourselves.
Yeah.
Our society is just so smartphone dependent. Yeah. And if I may interject my kids into this for a minute, when I say it's time to put it down, the Word of God says that you have to, if you remove the demon, you've got to replace it or it's going to come back 7 times. So I feel like when I tell them that I have to think of something for them to do. But then that's impossible 24/7. It really is. Putting myself in that, exactly what Josh encountered was, we don't have to be doing something all the time.
That's very true.
We can be slowing down. We'll talk about that 3-mile-an-hour God in a little bit, but we can be slowing down and opening up the world around us. There, how many people drive to work and suddenly you look out the window and you go, how the heck did I get here? I don't know. We miss so much going so fast that it's really important to slow down. I think, you know, I hate to call it a fast from a phone, but it's not a bad idea to really open up and see the world, you know, not just on the little screen in front of you, but your world, your parish, what you have influence over. You don't have influence over some guy in who knows where. You don't have a relationship with him either, but you have a relationship, or you have the possibility of relationship with the people in front of you.
Yeah. Yes, I would really recommend it. And also, man, you want to connect with the Lord real quick? Just go watch the wind blow through some trees for a little while. Watch a bird build its nest. Watch your kids play in the front yard. That is so much better than the instant gratification we get. And we're all guilty of it to varying degrees. So what's that third question?
Why?
How? I'm sorry, saving the best for last. Yeah. How do we fellowship?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when you think of like high school journalism. What did you learn? The what, the how, the why, the where, and all that. I think it is important to establish how, because there's a lot of like very, I don't want to say overused, but well used biblical sayings like walk it out, the one we like to hear. Walk in the Spirit. And I wonder how many people are sitting and going, what does that mean? How do I do that? So when I thought about how we do fellowship, it reminded me of that video that we saw about Pastor Matt Canlis and Methlic. How do you establish a relationship? You have to spend time with each other. It is not a thumbs up and moving on. It's not, hi, how you doing? We have a fellowship hall, but is that really where fellowship occurs? I think fellowship sometimes is an overly used word in the church as like, okay, we're fellowshipping, but we're not, there's not really an edifying exchange. There's just a hi, how you doing? Good to see you. Or as Eugene Peterson said, how's your soul? Not really knowing the person's name. So we fellowship by slowing down, by being present, by looking at people's faces. And not like we were talking before, as and Pastor Wade has said it too, and this is something of an inherent thing with some people, is you'll listen to somebody in the first half of the sentence, and you'll be like, oh, I got the answer to this. And I'm so going to...
It's my turn, it's my turn.
You're going to have to wait because I got this.
Exactly.
I'm going to really zing it to him. I got this. And so there's a break and you say, Lord, brother, Deuteronomy 28:2, go home, pray, boom, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be healed. See you later. Oh, I want to push you off your stool.
Yeah. I may or may not be holding myself up.
But I think we end up probably more often than not answering a question that the person wasn't even asking.
Right. Mm.
That we supposed that that was what they were looking for because it was what we were looking for, what we thought. So how is listening? I did some talks on leadership at Disney, and the biggest synonym I could come up with for leadership was listening. You don't influence people because we fellowship to be influenced and to influence, to be known and to know. It's giving, or in my mind, to want to know someone is to really have a desire to give them grace. To be known is a willingness to receive grace, which is the uncomfortable part. Yeah. That means you're open and in that fishbowl, and people can see you, and I see what you're doing. They see, oh my gosh, do you believe he wore those shoes today? and I just think that if we slow down, and I know we can't slow down because we got to get to work eventually, and we can't change the culture of today, but we can change the way we communicate, mm-hmm. and we can change our heart to slow down and be present for people. And this is for somebody other than me, but for me too. Your family has something to offer you. They're not Jesus in Nazareth. I think a lot of times we just say, I don't want to say take our family for granted, but your parents, your wife, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, they have something you need. And you have something they need. A lot of times, I think, when we feel like we come from fractured or broken families, we think about, I don't like my family. I don't identify with them. They're different from me. I'm born again. They may not be. But that might be what they need from you. And they have something for you. So don't miss it.
Yeah, it's true, you know, and this is kind of reaching into the why, so I won't say too much, but it is true that, you know, everybody has a gift, right? We all have a gift. Who's that gift for? It's not for you.
The redemptive right? gifts are to redeem people.
Right.
As well as you.
Exactly. And you know what? That's worth saying, too, that I asked the Lord a few weeks ago, because I was reading a scripture, and again, this is getting into why, and we'll probably just go ahead and fall into why.
Josh, why?
Thanks. why do we fellowship? Okay. This is the only thing I knew I wanted to say today. You guys okay?
Amen.
Is this good? Okay. Stay with me. It's fixing to get good. We both got something, a lot on this one, I think. Your gift is not for you. Right? Well, that means that everyone else's gift is. What you need, a lot of times we're going to our prayer closet to try to get what we need when God has placed it in people around you at their birth. There are people around you who love you, who are full of the Holy Spirit, and who have been praying to God for purpose, who would love nothing more than to be that gift to you. You know, Rebecca, I believe it was in the Bible, she watered all the camels, right? And that's the thing that showed them that she was the one, right? She was somebody's harvest. A people can be harvest. People can be reward. People can be healing. It's a very, very powerful thing when you look at it this way that, yes, we encourage have your alone time with the Lord. But, boy, don't look over who's in front of you. There's this, this thing I asked the Lord a few weeks ago. Let me continue with that. I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is addressing an issue that is super weird and uncomfortable. He said, you know, I heard that there's a man who is sleeping with his stepmother. That's weird with zeros on the end, okay? So basically he's saying, listen, he's kind of following the usual protocol. He's like, tell this guy to cut it out as if he didn't already know. If he doesn't, kick him out. Boy, that's harsh. That would hurt me to do. You know what I mean? And so I'm asking the Lord, because I'm not questioning it, but I'm asking, why? Where's he going to go? They need to be here, not out there, right? And it goes on for the destruction of the flesh, to reach an end of that road, to see it goes nowhere, right? But then, that wasn't the answer. The Lord revealed to me in 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses this same guy. And he comes back and he says, listen, concerning the guy that I told you to kick out, I heard you did that. Good job. Now you need to take him back because he's going to die from grief. You're being too hard on him. He repented. And all of a sudden, boom, all across the Word of God, I saw this posture that we are to have with people caught up in things. The purpose is always redemption. The purpose is not punishment, right? The purpose to kick him out is to make him, get him back, make him miss this, break his heart, right? And then you see in Galatians 6, it says, brethren, if you see somebody caught up in something, right, caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore them, right? He didn't say beat up on them or tell them how bad it is, you know, dig into them. No, the purpose, I mean, you see this with the prodigal son. You see this over and over and over. God's purpose is always redemptive. Get them back. Get them back over and over and over. Now, why does that matter here? Without the foundation established of a fellowship, where are they going to come back to?
And who's going to go get them?
Right.
If there's no relationship.
If there's no foundation, there has to be sort of an institution of friendship and of a covenant of friendship that has to exist for them to leave something and then come back. So why we fellowship, I personally believe, as of today, right now, I believe half of what God wants to do for us, with us, to us, is going to be through the people that he has placed around us. And if we isolate ourselves, because think of it, what's the devil's goal? It's divide and conquer. It's isolation. Well, why is that? Because see, if he can get me away from Larry, I'm not going to be in front of him for Larry to be moved with compassion and tell me, man, I just want you to know the Lord loves you. I don't know why, but can I just hug you? You know, him being Jesus to me. If I'm not around for that, if I've decided to stay alone, it's not good for man to be alone. Where did we hear that? Right?
Genesis 2:18, I believe.
Thank you. So what you got, man? I know you got something.
Well, I was thinking about that song we had today. I think everyone's felt like they were the one that was apart from the 99. Or, you know, we've been talking about ships. And other than me, has anyone felt like they were left on the dock for one of these ships?
Drowning rag.
Throw me a ring. But, you know, so what do we do about that? How are people brought back? How am I brought back? I am very fortunate to be a member of this church. That's a blessing. And even more fortunate to have friends in our small group and a wife that is looking out for me. That one would only be saved through fellowship. What about like that one Lance Wallnau video? When you're talking about calling, too, you're going to make it, brother. what if finding your calling is not a solitary pursuit? Hmm. I don't, you know, you think of finding your calling as getting in a closet and going, God, what am I here for? Smell these clothes? No. I believe we do hear God through other people. Yeah. I know
that's right.
We do hear God through other people. And we are edified, and we can probably get a whole lot more traction on what we should be doing by fellowshipping with each other and hearing from God with each other.
You know, another part of that, I said this to, it's one of those things, you ever say something when you're talking about the Lord and it's revelation to you as you said it, you know what I mean? This was one of those, because I went, that made me sound really cool, really cool. But it wasn't me, so I know. I was talking to Pastor Wade once, and we were just talking about, it was actually about this subject, about how the Lord's bringing us together, and, you know, and we're talking about, man, this minister over here put out a teaching on it, and all of a sudden, oh, this church across town, they're taught, and all of a sudden you see this, the Holy Spirit spread this blanket of purpose over the body, and it just came out of me. Never underestimate the power of confirmation. How many things would we have not done had it not been confirmed? How many things are we have yet to do because we're waiting for confirmation? Am I right? Now, it's true. So where's that confirmation going to come from? Now, for me, it's a very safe place for that confirmation to come from somebody who I know their character. I know their relationship with God. I've seen them operate in His power and with His Spirit, right? I can vet that word in advance with my relationship with them, right? So the power of confirmation, another huge reason why. I mean, the last two job changes I made, I don't make many of them. I stay places for a long time, but both of them came from a word from somebody, right? Somebody, you know, one of them, I asked them, and this is a fun thing to do. When you get a circle of people that you trust and you know hear God, what I will do is I will send a text to those people, or I'll call them or whatever.
Call and, them.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I received that rebuke. And I'll say, hey, I need you to pray about something. I'm not going to tell you what. Now, if you get 4 or 5 people message you back the same thing, that's crazy. That's cool. But again, outside of fellowship. Now, another reason is the love that you have for one another will fuel those gifts, right? Desire the gifts, pursue love. Right, so it's out of that place that those gifts come alive. And boy, it's not just edification. It is, like Steve said, we step into purpose. We step into blessing. We step into love. We need each other. It is kingdom. It is. It is.
So another why for fellowship, I kind of promised my Arwen. There you are. That I would bring the Lord of the Rings into this somehow. But one thing about fellowship and a group, it enables individuals that probably by themselves could not accomplish much, but as a group and as a team could bring down evil in the world, in the case of Lord of the Rings. That there was, 4 hobbits, help me out if I'm wrong here, 2 men, an elf, and a dwarf, and a wizard, that any one of them not being there would not have enabled that team to do what they were supposed to, and one of them by themselves couldn't do it alone. So we need each other. Ecclesiastes, this, when we were talking with last week, we were kind of going, why is fellowship important? And sorry. That's all right. And we were throwing back all the Lord of the Rings and all these things. And then Miriam just opens her Bible and she says, oh, I think this might be it. Ecclesiastes 4.
That's what I just pulled up. I was like, we got to talk about that.
4, verses 9 and 10 is what I have here. Is 2 are better than 1. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either falls down, the other can help them up. But here's, pity the one who falls down and has no one to help them up. We are better together. We're not meant to be alone. So being together is not being in the same room. It's not just talking about the game. It is helping each other, reaching down in your heart to give and being able to receive with that heart too. That was the harder part for me. Being known is not something that's always comfortable.
Right. Let's talk about that for a minute. You guys still okay?
Yeah.
You with us? Is this good?
Yeah.
All right. Being known. You guys all, who all saw that video? The, you know what I'm talking about? The
Godspeed.
That.
Yeah.
I should know. So there's a scene in there that really marks me every time I watch it. When Pastor Matt is talking about how he gets up in front of his church and the Lord is dealing with him on the front row before he gets up. And the Lord's saying, abandon the notes. You know, go noteless. And that's something the Lord's been dealing with me on. Because, you know, we prepare to stay safe. And this is, I feel like this is a word for somebody. That the Lord operates in risk. If we always try to keep things safe, we can really limit him. Was it safe to jump out of a boat and try to walk on water? Absolutely not. Especially when you wear those man jammies they wore back then, those dress things. How could you swim in that? That is scary. Sorry.
Man so, jammies?
Yeah. That's what they look like. Looks like everybody's walking around in dresses. So, yeah, risk. The Lord operates well in risk, right? There's this guy, Robbie Dawkins. He did this teaching on risk. And he said that he would, before he prayed for people, he'd get everybody's attention. Hey, everybody, come watch. This God's going to heal this guy right now. What?
Spotlight.
Yeah. Why is that scary? Because what if he doesn't? We're thinking about us, right? What are we going to look like? So anyway, Pastor Matt is dealing with this, and he's about to get up, and the Lord's just really dealing with his heart. And so he gets up, he turns around, and instead of having the message for the congregation, right, he turns around and he sees there's Larry, and there's Karen, and there's Jesse, and he starts seeing the faces of the people, right? And this phrase he said, after he said it since then, I'm going to tell you how I have experienced this myself. He said, then I saw the people giving me grace I couldn't give myself. And it gets me emotional because there are things we can't give ourselves. There are things we can't minister to ourselves. It's very hard to forgive yourself for things unless you have someone there saying, I don't judge you. Right? How much does that help if you're struggling with something? If you have somebody come up and say, that doesn't change who you are to me. That is a door for grace. And since then, you know, there's always things that happen with when you're in the people business, particularly in ministry. It's like you're laying your heart open for people, and some people do a river dance on it. And it can be painful. And so there was a time where, let's say Pastor Wade and I together were hurting about someone, right? And we had a couple people come up to us and tell us, listen, we don't know what's going on, but we're praying for you. You don't know what that means. Because it's very easy to blame yourself for what you didn't do, right? And all of a sudden, I've been trying to deal with this hurt for this relational injury on my own. Maybe we had together. But then there's people coming up to me and giving me grace that I couldn't give myself. It was incredible. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know that I would have recovered as quickly without that. Right? We need each other. Now, if I would have kept that locked up and refused to be vulnerable, right? If I'm going to lock the door to the people God sent, I've locked the door to God. Right? Jesus said that. He said, if you reject who I sent, you've just rejected me. Right? We look at that as a salvation thing. I think it covers a big swath of issues. So, but without being known, without allowing yourself to be that in front of people, that won't happen, I don't believe.
Yeah, it's just a quick illustration of that. I don't know if it was in the video or the book or conversation, but Pastor Matt, through a moment of fellowship, got the courage to do that, got the grace to do that. The previous day, one of his good friends, an elder at that church in Methlex, named Colin, and I could only do it the way he said it, Pastor Matt, you're not yourself on Sunday. You're trying to be this all-knowing, all-seeing teacher on Sunday, and then on Monday, when we get together, you're Matt, and it's so much better.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so he thought about that and said, you know, I got to do this. I got to be able to look people in the face and receive from them grace or love, which they're probably synonymous in that sense, to be able to help them. To have fellowship means that you're present, you're paying attention, you love them, and you let God lead you.
Yeah. Amen. We're pretty much at time, and I want to honor that. But
it is Father's Day, don't forget.
It is. It is. So, did that bless you guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless me. Thank you.
Yeah. And this is what you get at these home groups. This is hard to do at church, and that's okay. That's okay. We can't do this all the time here. There's some times where things are corporate and formal and all those things, and that's appropriate. But there is a supply waiting. There is a supply waiting in the people around you, and it's the height of life, is to know one another and love one another. It's fantastic. So you have anything else you want to say to close up?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is we have small groups, you know, shameless plug for small groups. We have them set up, but don't let that, if you can't make one of those, that shouldn't mean, oh, I guess the koinonia-ship or fellowship is not my boat. We all have what they talk about as a parish. It means that we all have influence in certain circles. Yeah. And you are that example of Jesus to a lot of people, whether you realize it or not. And I realized that I had been living most of my life not really thinking about that. That, you know, I didn't need Facebook to be in a cocoon. I could do that just fine on my own, riding a bicycle or whatever. But how are my kids going to learn relationships if they don't learn it from me? How are your coworkers going to be influenced by you about how you develop a relationship with them? How is your family going to be with you? How are they going to look at you? How are you going to help them if not learning that skill? And it is something I think that we have to learn how to do. because we've learned how to not do it really well in this society. So I would look for opportunities in your parish, in your influence, in your circle. And some people do it now. I know we're saying this in church, and it's almost kind of like they already know this, but sometimes it's good to hear it, and sometimes it's good to realize that maybe I'm not doing it as I should all the time.
Right.
Be present for people. Look for ways to build them up, because we need it. Everybody does. That's all I got.
Amen. Yeah, that's one thing that is true, that the world is starved for encouragement. And it just takes a drop of it to watch somebody transform. Amen. All right. Well, and see, this is always the trouble with the small groups. It's like, we got to stop at some point, you know. Praise God. Well, ushers, if you'll come, will we get ready to receive the offering?